Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budget, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow, all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite. And right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/c-suite. Head to netsuite.com/c-suite for special end-of-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/c-suite.
Hello and welcome to Ascent Dental Radio, a program dedicated to the balance between the clinical aspect of healthcare and the business of healthcare. And now, here's your host, Dr. Kevin Coughlin.
Welcome. This is Dr. Kevin Coughlin. You're listening to Ascent Dental Solutions with a focus on development, training, education, and knowledge. Before we begin with our special guest, Dr. Howard Farron, I'd just like to give special thanks to Mr. Doug Foresta and his company, Stand Out and Be Heard. Without his expertise, we would not be able to provide these podcasts. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I can't tell you how excited I am that Howard has taken the time from his incredibly busy schedule. If you don't know who Dr. Farron is, he not only is a dentist, he's not only an MBA, but he's also an international lecturer, and he's fast, easy, and understands what's important to our profession, not only clinically, but business-wise. I'm a firm believer that the best clinicians in the world, if they don't have an association and a knowledge of business, they're in an uphill battle. And if you're a great business person and you don't attain basic clinical skills, then you're also in an uphill battle. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Dr. Howard Farron for today's podcast. Howard, thanks so much for joining me today, and thanks so much for everything you've done for the field of dentistry and all the aspects of dentistry. Thank you so much.
Oh, it is a huge honor to be on your show. I'm a big fan of your 80 podcast, and thanks for uploading them on the Dentaltown website and the Dentaltown app. These kids have an hour commute to work every day, and they just love listening to dental podcasts like yours and mine.
Well, thanks so much. I thought what would be valuable to our listeners are basically three segments of the dental profession, and I'd like to start off with that first segment, and that's that new graduate. They're in their senior year. They're really focused on just basically getting the hell out of school, getting things started, but they really don't have a roadmap. With your expertise, your background, and all the information that you have coming into Dentaltown, what would you say would be the 3 to 5 bullet points that you'd recommend for these young graduates just getting started in their career?
Well, you know, I had an extremely lucky childhood. My dad was dirt poor, and when I was 10 years old, he saved up his money and bought a Sonic Drive-In franchise. And what was so, I mean, he went from making like $11,000 a year to $60,000 his first year. Then he opened up another Sonic every year for 9 years. We went from dirt poor, and I didn't even know what an air conditioner was. I didn't even know that people had air conditioners in their house. To living in the wealthiest area of Wichita, Kansas, Hidden Lakes Estates. And in that church that we were in was also the founders of Pizza Hut, Dan and Beverly Klein, who ended up with 2,800 Pizza Huts that they sold to PepsiCo, the Shaw family that started Godfathers. And so when I was a little kid and went, you know, fishing, I was sitting next to my dad. I was sitting next to who had 9 restaurants. Roger Carpenter had 100. Jim Williams had 1,000. Roger Carpenter had 2,800. And there was a lot of takeaways from growing up with these guys. Number one, you would never know any of them had a dime. I mean, my God, they lived below their means. When Sam Walton died, you know, everybody always says that Bill Gates was the richest man in the world because they don't know addition. When everybody said Bill Gates was the richest man in the world during my entire life, you look at the Walton family and Sam and his wife Helen and his 4 kids were like number 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. If you added them up, they were worth the 40% of the poorest Americans than that one family. And his desk was a door on 2 sawhorses, and he drove a pickup truck. Dan Carney, my God, you damn near would have thought he was homeless if you ever ran into the guy. He had these old corduroy pants. I think he only had about 5 different pants and shirts. They all lived below their means. And then the second thing that the takeaway was is every one of those legends in the restaurant franchise business, by the time they had 5 employees, one of them was a full-time bookkeeper. I mean, all they did was master their costs. These dentists will go in a room and they'll do 2 MOD composites. And I'll say, how much did you charge for that? And they go, well, I get like $250 for an MOD composite. And I'll look at it. I was like, $250, dude, 90% of your practice is PPOs. And this plan, you got $125. How were you off a Benjamin on each one of these damn fillings? I mean, and what did that room cost you? No idea. And I mean, my dad, I remember when I was 10 years old, I was working at Sonic and I was making a number one cheeseburger and I was dressing and I put on 4 pickles. My dad picked up that hamburger and threw it at the wall as hard as he could. And he said, Howie, if you're going to put 4 pickles on a hamburger, you might as well give it away for free. And I'm like, whoa, how many pickles are supposed to be on a hamburger? He says, 3. I mean, these guys all knew their cost. And by the time they had 5 employees, one of them was a bookkeeper. And I mean, it was amazing. I hired a bookkeeper when I started out. She's now the president of my company and makes $200,000 a year. I mean, it's all about cost. These dentists, they don't know their cost. And when you go in there and you know, their practice management information systems like Dentrix and Eaglesoft, they don't even have an accounting software. So all your data, I mean, you only manage people, time, and money. So all their costs are incurred in time, but they bill in units. The PPO price doesn't even matter. The only thing that matters is what does that room cost for an hour and how much production do you do in that hour? Southwest Airlines takes 100% of all their costs and reduces it to 1 airline seat flying through the sky for a mile. Now, if that chair takes off where you're at in Boston, flies to my house in Phoenix, and no one's sitting in it, well, it still has cost. I mean, that plane's not being flown by the tooth fairy. It's not being pulled by magic fairy dust. It has cost. These dentists don't even know what an operatory costs because Dentrix and Eaglesoft are the worst things. Those are the 2 worst things that ever happened to dentistry. They're the World War I and World War II of dentistry. The receptionist up there, she books an hour for 2 fillings. She doesn't even know what it is. Then she books some lady to come in for a cleaning for an hour. She's getting $55 for the cleaning and the hygienist is getting $40. And these dentists don't even know they're in quicksand. You have to hire a bookkeeper at every position you have. I'll go into a dental office and the supplies. Last month they were 5%. The next month they're 8%. The next month they're 7%. The next month they're 9%. It's like, how do your supply costs vary 100% from month to month? But if I hire a bookkeeper, she's not in healthcare, so she's not used to inflated wages. Everybody in healthcare and government in unions are used to these overkill wages that aren't market reality. So you hire outside of healthcare, outside of government, outside of unions. You bring in a bookkeeper, I can teach her how to be a dental assistant in a month. But then my supplies, if I say my supplies are 4.5% a month, then she's totally organized, puts up all these bookkeeping, accounting systems. Same thing up front. I mean, my gosh, you'll hire a girl that worked across the street in a dental office for 10 years on Dentrix. And I'll ask her during the interview, how many reports does Dentrix have? I mean, does it have 5, 10, 20, 30? She has no idea. I'm like, how did you sit on a software system for 10 years and never even go up and click this icon, because but mainly because what Dentrix and Eaglesoft have done is, instead of hooking it up to Quicken or Payroll or Peachtree or Microsoft Great Plains Accounting, they sit there and you send in all these wish list features. So they've added so much bullshit that 85% of all the functions are not even used in any dental office. Anybody go into anybody's dental office, go to the report generator and go to the utilization. None of it's utilized. But when you go into Marriott, it's stripped down. They only do like 7 things to check you in, but they always do every one, and you can't go from 4 to 5 or 5 to 6 without doing it in order. When you go return your rental car to Hertz Rent-A-Car, they only do like 5 things to check you in. That's why we switched to Open Dental. I have no connection with Open Dental. They don't advertise in Dental Town. In fact, they don't advertise anywhere because they're the best damn software ever because they're open. So you could have your own programmer, program right into it and make your own self a dashboard or whatever, but it's the most open software for your data. And if you get a bookkeeper in there, and so, you know, you have to, what we have to do is we have to dump everything out of Open Dental into Excel spreadsheets and then dump everything out of Peachtree Accounting into Excel and make all these damn reports, because the receptionist, you call up and you're, you know, if I sell bottled water, I make this bottled water for 90 cents and I sell it to 7-Eleven or Circle K for $1. I know it costs me 90 cents. I know I make a dime on everyone, and then they sell it for $1.15. In dentistry, the average dentist is signed up for about 12 to 15 different PPO plans. He has no idea what he's charging for any procedure. He has no idea what his room costs. And then the receptionist is scheduling your only costs and time. I mean, the Fortune 500, the S&P 500 average payroll is 53%. That's what it is in dentistry. The dentist is making 35% on 65% overhead. The staff's making about 25% rent, you know, lab bill 10, supplies 6, rent, mortgage, utilities 5, 6. But that's all spread out over time. And the receptionist is just sitting there saying, well, doctor, how much time do you like for an MOD composite? I don't care how much time you like for an MOD composite. What does that room cost? And what are you getting? If that room cost $200 an hour, and you put in $145 MOD, you just took a $50 bill grant and shredded it in a shredder. And, you know, dentists also do weird things like, you know, they only do quadrant dentistry, or they'll say, well, let's do the fillings on your right side and have you come back in 2 weeks to do your left side. And then right next door to him is an oral surgeon that numbs up all 4 quadrants all day, 8 times a day, 5 days a week for 40 years. I'm numbing up the whole mouth. I just tell them, they'll say, well, I only want to do the right side today. Well, due to your insurance plan, you know, it's a heavily discounted plan. The only way this works is if I do all of them at the same time. I can only afford to do all these fillings if we do it all at once. I can't, on this discounted PPO plan, I can't schedule an hour 4 different times to do 4 different fillings. The way your plan works, I have to do them all at the same time, or I can't even do them. And they're just like, oh, okay. And then they do it. And so when you staff your assistants and your receptionists with bookkeepers, they get numbers, they get costs. I mean, some dentists make $25,000 a month on 40% overhead, they only got to do $41,000 a month to make $25,000. At 50% overhead, obviously you got to do $50,000. But at 65% overhead, which is the national average, you got to do $71,500 with a dentistry to make $25,000 a month. And 20% of dentists have 80% overhead. They got to do $125,000 of dentistry to make $25,000. And the other thing they do wrong is that they're doing everything right in their mind. Like, they get out of school, they go to their church, they ask their pastor, their rabbi, hey, I need a CPA. Do you recommend anyone? And they're like, sure, there's a CPA in our church and our mosque and our ward. He's just a great guy. Go talk to Rick. Well, Rick doesn't know anything about dentistry. I'm sure he's a great guy. But now we got the Academy of Dental CPAs at avcpa.org. They got 6,000 dentists on one database. They got the Institute of Dental CPAs at indcpa.org. They got another 2,000. But every dental office, every dentist I know that has switched to someone like Kane Waters and Associates, someone who only does dentists, then they're sitting there because, you know, dentists know it all. Shit, they just know it all. They're not a doctor of dental surgery. They're a doctor of freaking everything. They don't listen to anyone. But so they're not going to listen to their CPA. But dentists listen to other dentists because they hang out. They hung out with these dentists in dental school. They know everybody that got into dental school got A's in calculus and physics and geometry. They know how many Krebs cycle, how many ATP come out of glucose on the Krebs cycle. They know their homies are smart. So when that American Academy of Dental CPAs or the Institute of Dental CPAs sits down and says, Dr. Kevin Coughlin, we have 6,000 dentists and their supplies range from 4 to 8%, and the mean is 5.25, and yours are 7%. Can we talk about that? You know, the dentists love numbers. It's kind of like when you're in dental school and you got done taking a test and they went and posted the computer printout of everybody's score and what the curve was. And dentists are used to that herd mentality with their other doctor homies. So when they start seeing this data bank and they start realizing what's going on. The other thing is with PPOs. So let's just say you're in Wisconsin. Well, that's a very different PPO market than New Jersey, which is extremely different than Kansas. And so when you got a dental CPA who's doing, 150 dentists in Kansas, and he can sit there and say, I don't know what's correlation, what's cause effect, but I do know everybody who's on this PPO here, whether it's Connecticut General or Blue Cross and Blue, whatever it is, they seem to have, everyone that's on this PPO is running like 68% overhead. But we've had several doctors, we've had five, that dropped these two plans. And what we saw is that their gross production went from $1 million a year down to $900,000 a year, but their net went from 175 to 2.25. Which shows you how much dentistry they were doing at a loss, because now they do less dentistry and they net more money. And then the other thing is, your hygienist comes in and your staff, the whole promotion system is based on astrology. They come in your office once a year and say, "Doctor, the earth has gone around the sun and past Uranus, and it's time to give me a dollar raise." And you're like, "A dollar raise? My God, I just talked to my dental CPA and I'm paying you $40 an hour to do $55 of cleaning. And we reduce all of our costs per operatory. Of course, we took out Crown and Bridge and applied that to the dentist, but your operatory is costing $90 an hour and you're doing $80. I lose $10 every single time you do a cleaning. And, you take an hour. Is there any way you could schedule 50 minutes so I could break even? Or if you go to 45 minutes, I'll give you a raise." But once you get the team on the same page and you build trust and integrity, if you have no trust, if you have no integrity, if you lie, cheat, and steal, you can't lead a team. You're not going to get repeat business. You lose everything in life. And then when everybody starts getting on the same page with the numbers, everybody starts making better decisions. The front office makes better decisions on how much time to schedule. A lot of dentists are realizing that composites, oil is trading this morning at $71 a barrel, and Clearfill SE is trading at $1,250,000 a barrel. These dentists say these crazy wacko things like composites last longer than amalgams. When a dentist says that, you almost got to think his mom dropped him when he was a little kid. The average composite is lasting 6.5 years. It's inert plastic. The recurrent decay under these composites is just mush. You take out with a number 4, number 6, number 8 round burr. These amalgams are half mercury. You'll never find mercury in a multivitamin. The other half is silver, zinc, copper, and tin. Every one of them is antibacterial. Tin, stannous fluoride, that's tin. Silver, silver, diamine, fluoride to treating pediatric dentistry. Everything in an amalgam is toxic. And when you put in an amalgam, those things last 38 years. But the thing is, an amalgam doesn't cost anything, and they're fast. So when you sit there and start realizing that this room costs you $200 an hour and you're getting paid $100 for an MOD composite and you can barely do two of them in an hour, it makes you start thinking, well, maybe instead of putting in a 6.5-year-old inert plastic composite without an active ingredient, maybe I should just go back to amalgam. And a lot of these dentists are going back to amalgam because their patients prioritize PPOs and price over aesthetics. And so, I can't make a bottled water for 90 cents and sell it to you for 45 cents. These are what dentists are doing. They're doing it all day, every day. And gosh, at this point, I don't even know what question you asked.
I'm going to tell you this, Howard. First of all, the information is terrific. And if I was to paraphrase and summarize, I think what you're trying to tell these new graduates is, number one, live below your means. I know you want a new Porsche. I know you want a Mercedes. I know you want a Tesla. Hold on to it and save some money and spend below your means. Even though you think you deserve it, in the real world, my data says you're going to be close to $300,000 in debt. And at a 6% interest over 7 years, it's going to cost you almost $4,000 a month to get out of debt. So the first $78,000 to $80,000 is going to go just to deal with school debt. So I believe what you're trying to say is live below your means. Save some money. Number two, know what the hell your costs are. When you sit there and look at your schedule, say, how much time am I planned for and what am I going to generate for revenue? And all that's great, but if you don't know what your overhead costs are for your business and your personal life, you're just swimming in a circle going nowhere. And then last, if I was to say what I learned is, remember, three pickles are just as good as four pickles, and it's going to put more money in your pocket, and your old man taught you the right way. Howard, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. If these young graduates, these people getting started in the profession, they wanted to get more information on you, they wanted to learn more about you and how you've conducted your business and helped thousands of dentists throughout the country and the world, how do they reach you?
I would have them go to Barnes & Noble and buy my book in print or audio called Uncomplicate Business. You only manage three things: people, time, and money. I mean, that book is my masterpiece. You know, I was 50 years old, had an MBA, had been practicing 30 years and collecting $1 million a month before I wrote that book. It's my magnum opus. The secret to writing is rewriting. The first draft was 600 pages. Second draft got down to 4. The final draft, 200 pages. I mean, that book could tell you everything you ever need to know. And it costs like $10.
Well, Howard, I can't tell you how much we appreciated you doing this podcast. I know how busy you are. I personally want to thank you. And I want to also say thank you for what you're doing for our profession. I hope that we can do a follow-up podcast with the focus on those dentists who started off with a bang, a flurry, but for a variety of reasons that I think we both know, their practice is not going in the way they wanted to. They're not accomplishing what they want, and it's sad. And with the proper processes and procedures, their lives could be turned around, not only clinically but financially, and that's better for them and their family. And then that final podcast is, how do we prepare that dentist for the ultimate exit strategy? For whatever reason, health, nerves, desire, they know that they've got to take this asset, and they've got to, most cases, sell that asset. And how do they get the most valuable return on investment for that asset? And I think with your knowledge and expertise, if you're willing to spend the time with me, I'd love to follow up on those two additional podcasts.
Kevin, it would be an honor to come back two more times on your podcast. I'm a huge fan of your podcast. And again, thanks so much for putting up on Dental Town, because these dentists tell me they get in their car, they open up the app, they scroll through the podcast, say, what are they in the mood for? And I've gotten so many great feedback and comments on your podcast, on Dental Town. I think what you're doing is just amazing. Thank you so much for transferring your amazing knowledge from doing that for so many years and all the, I mean, hell, you had 14 dental offices and I mean, to think of some dentist who's done it for 30 years, who built 14 offices, telling these little kids that just walked out of dental kindergarten class everything you know, is just a noble cause. I'm so proud of you. Thank you for all that you've done for dentistry and Dental Town.
Thanks so much, and I look forward to our next podcast. This is Dr. Kevin Coughlin. You've been listening to Ascent Radio.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.